Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us on the radio dial here locally at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us around the world through blogtalkradio.com, whether you're listening in through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. We have a great guest lined up for this half hour. Actually, we have two authors for the price of one. We're going to be speaking with Stephen Inna and Dennis Wooten. They're the co-authors of the Aloha Trilogy. They're now here to talk about book number two in the series, Adios. If you've missed the first conversation, we're going to make it very easy for you guys to be able to find it, to find out more about Aloha, which was the first book. But we're also going to talk about this overall process for them. These guys have been friends and worked together for many years. We're going to talk about the series, what it's been like for them, and what it's been like to hear from us as readers as well. If you're curious about when the third book in the trilogy is coming out, we'll be asking them about that as well. Again, a great half hour lined up with these guys. Stephen, Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Cyrus. We appreciate having the opportunity.
Well, we're very excited about talking with you guys. I read this book, I think, in 3 days, guys, and I was so excited about the book. I wanted to wait till I wrote my review because when I talk to friends about it, I'm always curious as to their thoughts before they actually know what I think about a book. I want to start off with the success so far because Aloha came out, and it is one of these books that really seemed to be so relevant for the time. And now you followed it up with Adios. What has it been like for you, starting with you, Dennis? What has it been like for you to have people talk about the series and how much they're enjoying reading it?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. You know, we haven't been ever considering ourselves as professional authors. And so we have a lot of family and friends who all of a sudden, you know, are going, you wrote a book? You wrote two books? I think there was some friends have wondered whether I knew how to read, much less write a book. So it was nothing but fun. We've been just having a lot of local bragging rights with it.
Yeah, and Stephen, Dennis mentions the local rights, but now thanks to the Internet, you guys are all over the place. What has that been like for you to know that there are people literally all around the world that are now able to either pick up a book you guys have written or download it to their Kindle? What has that been like?
I think, Cyrus, it's been rewarding and maybe inflating to a little bit to our egos, which shouldn't be inflated. I think the compliments that have come in that have been so telling to me are the people that have read the book and said, the people that we don't even know and say, I know these characters. I know what they look like, and I know how they think now, and you've done that for me. I think that to us has been one of the best compliments of all. And then of late we've had for the first time actual interest in the possibility of turning the thing into a movie. So it's been one big ride all the way along, and we've just had a thrill a minute with it. As you know, I give my partner, Den, all the credit for the major ideas, and I just become the writer, and that's how we've worked this partnership.
Yeah, and it has been such a great partnership. And Stephen, what you just said, it was so funny. If my friends from the Online Book Club, I mean, could be here, they would say, I told them yesterday, I said, this is a movie. This is a movie waiting to happen. Because it is so real, it's so engaging, that you can't help but want to see it being brought to life in other ways. So let's go back. For those who may have missed the first conversation, when I first was introduced to you guys, it was your very first book, Aloha. Since you gave Dennis the credit, Stephen, I'll throw this question to him. Dennis, where did the initial idea come from?
Well, you know, what happened was I wrote a book of life lessons for my children and my grandchildren. And, I struggled with the writing. And I was telling Steve about it, and he says, Den, we should write a book, a fiction. We both read fiction. I read about 50 books a year. And so I said, yeah, you know, and he says, I'll write it. You come up with the ideas and the characters because you've got a crazy mind. I'll write it. You edit it and put it out there and get it out to print. And then and we'll see what happens. And so I was going to go off to Hawaii on vacation, and I was trying to come up with an idea that was completely different, because if you read 50 fiction a year, you know that you run into similar plots all the time. And so I was really struggling, and I wanted to come up with something completely different. And I just thought of Hawaii and the debt crisis, and I said, I got it. We'll sell Hawaii. And Steve loved it from the minute I told him.
Yeah, and the rest, as they say, is history. But a great deal of the book centers around this character you all have created that is so real, Stephen, and that, of course, being the president, Bruce Gavin. Talk to us about his evolution and what has surprised you the most about readers' response to him.
You know, I think it's interesting, Cyrus, because I don't think any of us ever know how we're influenced, but I was so tired of the politicians today dealing with these huge crises that the U.S. is faced with, but unable to come up with a line that makes sense for the American people, not for the right or for the left, but for the American people. And so given that, I felt like the only way that we could address these national issues that Den had raised, like the debt, illegal immigration, the war in Afghanistan, Prop 8 and the gay side of it, was to create a character who kind of grew up in a blue-collar world with a common-sense approach to life. And that's how Bruce Gavin was born.
Mm-hmm. Have you been surprised, Dennis, about how the world has responded to Bruce? I think what is so interesting to me, and I was having, again, this conversation yesterday, was that I think regardless of your political affiliation, there are parts of Bruce's life that you can not only relate to, but you can sympathize with. Have you been hearing that a lot, Dennis?
You know, it's kind of funny. First, when I tell people what the premise of the first book is, they laugh and then they stop and think. And when I tell them, well, you know, U.S. Used to be an acquisition of geography, and they bought some and acquired some through force and all of this. And then now maybe it's time for us to be a seller. And then you start talking about the character, and it's most people that I talk to kind of buy into most of what Bruce is all about. You know, should loving somebody be restricted? And shouldn't we consider all options when we're dealing with the financial status of the country? And so these topics at the base, at the core, are things that most of my friends buy into right away. And it doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat.
Right. Right, and I think that's the beauty of it. For those that are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I have the privilege of welcoming back author Stephen Inna and also Dennis Wooten. They're the co-authors of the Aloha Trilogy. Books 1 and 2 are out now, Aloha being the first, Adios is the second. Guys, we're going to talk about Adios here in segment 2. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the issues you raise, some of the characters you introduce us to, and where you see Bruce Gavin and the country heading next. We're going to talk about that when we come back, okay?
Great.
You're listening to Conversations Live here on the radio dial at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
And we're back with Conversations Live, and our conversation with Stephen Inna and Dennis Wooten, the co-authors of the Aloha Trilogy. As I was saying, book 2 is out now, Adios, gearing up, of course, for book 3, Goodbye. Sure. Guys, I want to get into some of the issues here, because in Aloha, as Dennis, you were talking about, the debt was one of the big issues that the new president, Bruce Gavin, was facing, and he found a way to be able to deal with that in a way that, ironically, he got people to understand, I think, regardless of their political affiliation. vacation and to see the benefits, and that was, of course, the Hawaiian Islands. Now we're moving into some issues that, again, are coming up politically today, being in a presidential year, illegal immigration, the cartel. But I think also we have the underlyings of Bruce's personal issues that he's dealing with and how the country is reacting to that with a reelection looming. I want to talk about, though, the issue of immigration and the new characters, because when I have to tell you, when I first saw the cover of this second book, I thought there is no better way you guys could have illustrated the not only the journey you were going to take us on, but also the world that you were going to be getting us to be introduced to. The woman with the two children, of course, we get to know her, Rita, of course. But then, of course, the signs. I didn't understand the signs until I got to reading the book, drug cartels everywhere. So you're taking us into that. What was it like for this, Dennis, as you guys were having this conversation, such a good response to Aloha. Talk to us about the conversation about book two and your concerns in the follow-up.
Well, I think in creating the new characters in Adios, we were looking at the national issues that you mentioned, obviously illegal immigration, the power of the Mexican drug cartels, as two key issues, and how would a president begin to attack that? But we did it by creating a new character who is a woman devoted to the strength to get through a commitment that she had made to her husband, and one that so happens to bring down the Mexican drug cartels in the process. But I wanted to get a single mother with a absolute vision of what she wanted to accomplish and have her do it even at the risk of losing her own life and that of her children. So that the power of her commitment coupled with the power of the Mexican drug cartels became a part of it. And as we researched Cyrus, the cartels, and in reality how vicious they are, it gave us a lot of things as food for thought about the danger that this woman had ahead of her. And that's how this new characters grew, and through it, using Den's ideas, we were able to weave in all of the problems associated with illegal immigration, the threat of Al-Qaeda as being real, the use of dirty bombs, and some of the other things that are all facing us today.
Yeah. Stephen, when you were writing about this woman that we get to meet, and also Carlos, because I thought the way you guys wove that story in, and I'm going to be vague for those who have not read it yet because I don't want to spoil too much of it, but I do like the connection. I want to talk about, you know, you have Bruce Gavin, you have those around him that we got to meet in the first book. When you're creating these new characters, talk to us about inspiration, because we find, of course, a lot of times, authors will be drawn to what they know, people they know they'll draw from. Talk to us about this connection you created with Carlos and Rita, what they had in common and how they were able to be united through that, and what that says about all of us when we're dealing with tragedies in our own life.
Well, I needed to figure out a way to get from Mexico to Portland, Oregon, and how that road would take them. And I needed to figure out a way that others with a similar commitment would help along the way. And as I told Den at lunch today, when you read through Adios, Carlos becomes the only one that you in the book are able to understand why his commitment was so strong to help her succeed. But everyone else had the same commitment. It just wasn't specifically identified. So that was a great fun. And then, of course, the setting for his ranch in Evergreen, Colorado, I happen to know that area fairly well since my brother lives there. So that enabled me to have a lot more insight into the character of the people and the environment and all of the things that crop up, including Mount Evans and the horses and the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. Dennis brought up, of course, the threat of the dirty bomb, and, of course, that is all of our worst fear. And, again, you have only to turn on the television, guys, and to see the threat that Iran today is looking at for as far as from the world, and also the talk of Israel. Will Israel attack Iran? And so when you're looking at these books, are you guys amazed at how much what you guys are writing about is in some sense unfolding in front of us?
You know, Cyrus, I got to tell you a funny story on that. Is we no sooner finished the book and had it uploaded on Amazon than I'm watching the news one night, and they come out with this Iranian American who went down to Mexico and hired the drug cartel to blow up a restaurant in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And I'm going, they're taking it out of our book, almost literally.
Yeah.
And so you're 100% right. I mean, you know, that we haven't seen the U.S. sell Hawaii, but short of that, a lot of the things that we've put in here seem to be cropping up, or maybe they're there and we're just now becoming aware of them. But the other thing was I had done a lot of reading where, you know, you keep on hearing about these secret tunnels and everything else being found crossing the border, almost like a catacomb. And so that led me to say, well, who best to get people into the United States other than the drug cartels?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we hooked up, we decided to hook Al-Qaeda up with them.
Yeah, yeah. Something, again, that is not far-fetched at all, and that is the eerie yet entertaining part of this story that keeps you turning the page, that I mean, this is something that is not so far-fetched. Again, for those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Stephen Inna and Dennis Wooten. They're the co-authors of the Aloha Trilogy. Aloha, actually, I was able to interview them about it last year. Now we're talking about Adios, the second book in the series. Goodbye, of course, is the big finish, guys. Stephen, are you feeling the pressure of ending this in a way that will satisfy readers?
No, I really like the way it ended, Cyrus. We have completed it and are in the final edit of it now. And I think when you see how we have ended it, that you will as well see one unbelievable twist at the end. So, no, I think in Goodbye, which is the final book in the trilogy, once again, following Den's lead, we're dealing with issues that are very real and impacting society every day, and that's the war in Afghanistan, the continued threat from Al-Qaeda, the use of these bombs against the United States, the cells within the United States that already exist, and so we've been able, again, to be current on issues but have this president grapple with them in a way that you would hope all people that were logical and thought that way would deal with them.
Yeah. Dennis, what about with you? You have lived with this idea. You've lived with these characters. Is there any sadness in seeing it come to an end with Goodbye?
Yeah, without disclosing the ending, there's a sadness for me in the end. The Gavin presidency is running down to the end. And an inevitable ending takes place, the early part of the ending, the lead up to the final ending, takes place, and it's kind of inevitable, and it's sad, and it's a loss of a character. And it's funny, because when we started this, we had no vested interest in the characters. They weren't anybody. I mean, that, you know, Bruce Gavin was, you know, I like to jokingly say, you know, well, how did you come up with Bruce Gavin? Well, I was thinking of Gavin Newsom. And so, I borrowed the name. But by the time you get to the end of the third book, you're kind of concerned about how these guys are all going to do and how these characters are going to play out and how they're going to go on with their lives. And Steve did a masterful job in winding down everybody and getting them off and on their own to you know, somewhere else. Just like what happens in every presidency when there's a change in office, that entire support function moves on as well.
Right, right. I want to talk about Bruce Gavin a little bit more because I think out of all the other issues that are coming up, you guys take us into, and I like the fact that you describe it this way even on the back of Adios, and that is as a political thriller, because there are the politics of this thing. And you have a man who has defeated President Barack Obama. He is this new individual, fresh, a Republican, but not like your typical Republican in so many ways or how you see Republicans being portrayed. We also see, though, regardless of party, that there are individuals, and you guys write this into the story, so I'm curious about this, about even those of his own party who are not quite, okay with him making the revelations that he's made, living the life that he is living, and are already making plans. Talk to us about that part of this, Stephen. I mean, because, I mean, the research you guys have to do for this to be real for us has to be, you know, pretty extensive. What was it like for you to kind of take on that political analyst hat and to be able to think about the issues that people even of his own party would be considering as he was thinking about reelection and going up to that?
Well, I think it all begins with his upbringing, blue collar, financial conservative guy that enjoyed numbers, wasn't quite sure about his own sexuality for years, and at the same time, a guy that was able to make friends of all types, whether it was the two people that owned the Sturgis cigar bar that were basic bikers, or whether it was a very sophisticated law professor at Stanford. He had a way of being able to relate to all of these eclectic people. And right. We kept that with him throughout the book, so that when it came time to developing the agenda for his reelection campaign, and Greta, his chief of staff, sat down with her brain trust and they outlined what they thought was going to work, and then presented it to the staff, all of whom were almost shocked because in many instances he was reversing himself on some issues that he had said before, and they had the staff meeting and he walked in his own words, explained why every one of these things made sense. And I think that was a very telling part, where in his own words he's saying, I've looked at it, and this is why each of these issues is critical to me. And then right. He left the room.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I think is so great about how this has all come about. So you definitely have me excited and sad in a sense, because you you get to know these characters, even the sub-characters. You feel like you know them. You know, about their circumstances, what they're dealing with. And I think it, and I've always said this because I'm someone who would never run for a public office, I think it helps you to understand what all goes into the process, you know, of being an individual who governs and who has to make those type of decisions, not knowing what's going to happen. I think the dirty bomb situation in the book is a real threat that we have to look at, and the way you guys address it, I think, is spot on, because it brings up the conversation. I think the great thing about a book is when you can be entertained by it, intrigued by it, but also makes you think a little bit and have something to talk about. If you guys were going to talk about what a home run would be like for this series, Dennis, what would it be for you? If you had to say what you would hope at the end of the day this accomplished or it did, what would that be for you?
Well, if we could get a wider distribution, Steve talks about, we are in discussion working with somebody on possibly doing a movie deal on the book. And if that were to come about, it would be wonderful, because it would you know, put all of these ideas out, you know, into the marketplace and out into the public for them, you know, for the wide market to think about. You know, we talk about, just for an example, we talk about a national ID card, and there's no interest in the United States for a national ID card right now. But I've always felt that we're one disaster away from it. So we're one dirty bomb, or we're one city going away from having a national ID card. So it's always the circumstances, you know, that will modify people's beliefs. And again, you know, gay marriage, we're moving down that spectrum, but we're moving down it, you know, fairly slowly. And, you know, what would be, you know, the country's reaction to, you know, unknowingly electing a gay president? So, you know, we're having a lot of fun with it, but it would be really be nice to have recognition of these ideas, you know, from the book on a broader scale.
Yeah, and Stephen, for you, what would you see as the ultimate success for the Aloha Trilogy?
This all began as a funny little conversation that said, you know, I think we could do this if we try. Just to have the three books on your coffee table, and no, you know, this came out of just saying, these two guys that are not writers but said they thought they could do this, did it, and there they are. That's plenty of reward for me. I think the ultimate reward would be, as Den said, if someone was able to take this and turn it into an HBO series or something that would enable it to outline all of these issues, and particularly at this time in our political process, because it's so current, and it would have people thinking and buzzing about what if, and how would our panel of Republicans in their debate deal with any of these issues right now. And
right.
I think that getting that widespread recognition would just be great.
Yeah. Well, I know it's coming for you guys because it's definitely two of the best books that I've read. And I don't say that lightly because I read a whole lot like Dennis. So, I mean, you guys have done an amazing job. I can't wait for book three. I'm excited about that. We're going to tell our listeners how to find out more information about you guys and get their copies of the book in a moment. But I want you guys to put on your author hats for a moment, because I know there are aspiring individuals out there. And I think this goes – you hit on something really important, Stephen, because I was going to say, what advice do you have for aspiring writers? But really, it seems like to me, and I'll let you answer this, it seems like to me this is more about the power of a vision and seeing that vision through. So what would you say to listeners, regardless of what their passion is, what would you say to them about the importance of pursuing it?
Well, I think if you believe you want to do something, that should be a goal and you should accomplish it. And I think there's a lot of writers out there or a lot of people out there that say, you know, I always think I'll sit down and write a book. Well, if you do, then do it, and you can do it. How you do it in your own process will probably be much different than what my process in writing it was, but the point is start it and finish it. It's a little bit like what you tell your kid when they go off to college, that this is your first job. You're going to start it, and I want you to finish it. And not stop three-quarters of the way. If you do, then figure out how you're going to finish it. So my best advice to anybody would be to say, if you start it, do it and finish it, because you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it. Dennis, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, a couple things. First, as far as, like Steve says, start it and finish it, almost half of the people who I talk to and about the books, whether it was my own book or the trilogy, probably half of them say, oh, I've always wanted to write a book about. And it reminds me of what I used to tell my kids, and that was, for example, going to college is not about intelligence. It's about discipline. It's about going every day, doing what's required to get through. This is kind of the same thing. It's not about intelligence. It's about sitting down and doing it, starting it, getting it going. And, of course, the toughest part is starting it, because everybody always finds a reason to put it off until tomorrow. And
yeah,
if you start it, whether it's, you know, just having lunch and talking about an idea and laughing about it or whatever, but you got to take that first step. And it's all about discipline to finish the project.
Exactly. I totally agree. Well, congratulations again, guys. Again, the second book is Adios in the Aloha Trilogy. You can find out more information about both Stephen and Dennis by going to their website at www.alohatrilogy.com. That's www.alohatrilogy.com. And remember, the last book in the series, you heard it here, But you can be expecting that soon. That's Goodbye. The book is also available on Amazon.com, both in as a hard copy as well as for those Kindle readers. And I found out today because a friend of mine purchased it at $7.99 for Kindle. So you can find it there. So definitely go over there. Guys, thank you so much for coming on again. It was always, you know, I enjoyed the first conversation, enjoyed this one as well. I think we got to talk a little bit more about not only the characters, but also the commitment you guys have made to this series. So we're looking forward to the next conversation when you guys introduce us to Goodbye.
Thanks, Cyrus. We're very appreciative of your taking the time.
Thanks.
Hey, no problem. Guys, I really appreciate you guys for coming on. Again, that's AlohaTrilogy.com. AlohaTrilogy.com is where you can find out more information about the series, and also you can purchase it from there as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our resident chef, Bruce Treader, will be here with our quick and easy cooking tip. I want to remind you, if you missed any part of my conversation with Stephen and Dennis, you can catch the entire podcast about 10 minutes after we go off the air. You can do it by going to our radio website, or if you're friends with me on Facebook, you can find the link already on my page. Just click on it. It'll take you to the free download. You're listening to Conversations Live on the radio at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.